You can get up now, Ryan. He's going nowhere.
Ryan stood up, dusting himself off, seeing that JB, Jack, and Christy were all holding smoking blasters. The dead mutie lay in a jumbled heap of torn flesh. Dark blood puddled all around him. Jack picked up the fallen shotgun, flicking it open.
Huh. Empty. Not fired for 50 years by Dick.
Don Phil stooped to get through the doorway, out of the screeching wind and spray.
Was that a mistake?
No. Mistake would have been if it had been me down and done for. No, no mistake at all, friend.
The shock of the climb, after the immersion in freezing seawater, had carried Doc Tanner beyond the level of exhaustion. Lori and Ryan carried him in, while Christy finally closed the door on the bitter storm that raged outside in the night.
Cape Cod, summer of 95. Bitter chill it was. The crabs, for all their feathers, were... Emily, belly swollen like a milkmaid, smiling in the sun. Rachel, tarrying around like a heathen savage. We went so gentle into the far-off beating of the slack-skinned drum.
Doc's eyes snapped open and stared with a fiery intelligence into Ryan's good eye.
You lied, who told me time would ease my pain. I missed them in the turning of the tides. I missed them in the weeping of the rain. There's a wind on the heath, Brother Ryan. Life is very sweet. Who would wish to die?
His eyes closed, and he fell deeply asleep, even as they carried him into the depths of the isolated redoubt. For reasons that nobody would ever know, it seemed that the nameless mutie had been living alone in that section of the complex for most of his life. There were rooms filled with empty and rotten self-heaths and ring poles. It had been the storage section, and there were still enough racks of food and drink to keep a small army supplied for months. There was also a whole wing of the redoubt equipped as dormitories, with partitions dividing off small rooms, each with half a dozen metal-frame bunk beds. They laid Doc on one of them, and Lori crashed out on the bed beside. JB and Jack joined the shaman in a room just along the passage.
I take first watch.
Fine. I feel kind of tired anyhow.
That's a first. I swear I can't recall you ever saying that before. You must be tired.
Couple of beds here pushed together, lover. Not used, either. Double spread of blankets.
Ryan closed the flimsy hardboard door and switched off the light. There was still plenty of glow from the main overhead lamps that were never switched off in any redoubt. Ryan felt bone-weary.
You getting undressed?
Christy's sentient hair framed her pale cheeks limply, setting off the startling green of her eyes.
Nah, pal. I'll peel off what's wet and... guess that'd be everything. Fire blast. Yeah, why not?
Christy didn't move, watching him as he unlaced the combat boots, cursing the seawater that had tightened the knots. He peeled the socks off his pale, puckered feet, carefully unburdening himself of his armory of weapons. Rifle, pistol, and panga, the hidden, slim-bladed flensing knife. He unwound the white silk scarf with the strangler's weights at both ends, then removed the heavy coat with the white fur collar and the rest of his clothes, until he stood, swaying with tiredness, magnificently naked in front of her.
Very good, lover. Now you lie down here and watch me.
Christy, I'm not going to be up to this tonight. I'll leave it until the dawn. I can't do a thing until I've slept.
We'll see.
She licked her lips very slowly, and despite his protestations, Ryan felt a tremor stirring in his groin. He moved past her and lay on the bed, not bothering to pull up the blankets. As in most redoubts, the automatic temperature control kept conditions comfortable. Christy glanced across at him, admiring the planes of muscle across his lean torso, noticing, as she always did, on the rare occasions she saw him nude, the seamed scars and weals of old wounds that mapped his body from temple to heel. The woman pulled off her dark blue leather boots, throwing them down by the bed, the silver points on the toes gleaming softly. The khaki coveralls peeled away from her and fell about her bare feet, leaving only the sheen of her bikini pants strung across her hips. She hooked her thumbs in the elastic and posed for him.
Want me to keep these on?
I told you, I'm too damn tired.
She grinned impishly, pointing at the part of his body that was insistently giving the lie to his words.
That's not tired, lover. Let's just sleep now. Make love tomorrow when we wake up. Poor guy. Hope he feels more himself tomorrow.
Lori will help him do that.
Yeah.
Christy walked to the bed and folded herself onto it, leaning against Ryan's raised knees. She ran her hand gently up his leg, stroking the inside of his thighs. And then higher.
What do you say, lover?
I said I can't. Not tonight. I'm sorry, love, but I can't.
Higher. Her strong fingers proving him more of a liar.
I can't, Christy.
But of course, he could. The battering on the door of their dormitory sent Ryan's hands scrabbling for the butt of his Sig Sauer, feeling the chill of the metal against the warmth of his palm. But the voice outside was Doc's, and he relaxed again, Christy cuddling up against him under the blankets.
A gentleman in England now abed will think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood cheap. Upon my soul, friend Corder, friend Glamis, are you in there with yon wanton maiden, holding your manhood?
If Doc knew I was holding it, he'd go fire red with embarrassment.
He sounds a good voice. You got first food cooked and waiting for us, Doc?
Of course. Eggs fresher than tomorrow's sunrise, done just the way you like them. Fluffy and full of get-up-and-go goodness. Rashers of orange-cured ham so thick you need a forklift to get them to your mouth. Honey-roasted chicken pieces and crisp link patties. Peaches and melons that fell off the trees 5 minutes ago. Coffee strong enough and black enough to float a six-shooter. Bread that hasn't even finished being baked yet a while. And butter that was in the cow less than half an hour since.
Ryan swung his long legs out of the bed and started to pull on his pants.
Doc, you got yourself a couple of hungry customers. It really as good as you say?
Sure. Come and get it. Come and get it.
A few minutes later, Ryan cautiously lifted the brittle off-white plastic spoon to his lips, grimacing at the familiar gray texture and stodgy consistency of the dull mess resting like a sullen reproach in the middle of the plate.
You lying old bastard. It's just a fucking self-heat like it always is.
Yes, dear Ryan, yes. But you had a good couple of minutes there anticipating it, didn't you?
A decent, uninterrupted night's sleep was such a rarity in the Deathlands that all seven of them were in high spirits as they ate their breakfast, with the possible exception of Don Fillmore, who was tenderly rubbing the lower part of his back, complaining that the bed was a foot too short for him.
Phew!
Ever bed too short for you?
Apart from Don Phil Smith and Wesson, there didn't seem to be any worthwhile armament sections in the vast, rambling redoubt. Even the first superficial survey of the morning made it clear that the land, wherever they were, had definitely been subject to a major shift and drop. Whole sections of the complex had totally disappeared, corridors ending in blank walls of smeared earth, as though a gigantic knife had hacked through them. Some of the redoubts that had been totally